Stand Up with Pete Dominic. You're listening to a radio bumper for a show. Now some music, then talking.
I'm Pete Dominic, at Pete Dominic on the Twitter. You're listening to Stand Up. Stand up for something, for God's sake. I mean, you don't literally have to stand up right now. You're probably in your car. But care about something. Find an issue, get interested, and stand up. Joining us now is a gentleman who stood up a couple of years ago and actually got on a treadmill and then sat back down. He is the founder of the Big Picture blog and author of Bailout Nation, How Greed, Uneasy Money Corrupted Wall Street and Shook the World Economy, the book that I was introduced to him for. Still relevant, still important. Fantastic. You should get it. Ritholtz.com and the Big Picture blog are pretty much, well, they're the same thing. They're the one of the most popular blogs in the world of finance, and he really can speak to about anything Ritholtz can. He could host his
golf.
Own. He's hosted the show for me.
Anything about golf. I know
really?
About-
yes, you can, though. But the thing is, you can't talk about it as an expert, but you could talk about it, making fun of it. There's nothing
I can make fun of the clothes these guys wear.
Right, but I could just say a word, a right. subject.
Let's
a
try
person.
That. Let's test
you want to do
out.
It?
Sure.
Neckties.
I'm wearing one.
Are they a fancy of the past?
It's become a cultural attachment that when you're looking to be professional and dressed and what have you, you wear a necktie. Although reality is, it exists to cover the buttons.
That's the truth. I did not realize that.
And you know, these buttons are here to prevent you from wiping your nose on your sleeve.
Really, the buttons on your shirt cuff are there only to prevent. I thought they were there so you could roll
up.
That's
what
your
my mom told me when I was little. Stop that! I'm gonna put you in a shirt with buttons. You're disgusting. What are you doing?
Face is
can you
stay
let
that
go
way?
Of yourself? Must you grab yourself constantly?
Did she say?
Although that was this weekend, so it was a little weird. A little
oh wow, really?
No, my mother got bat mitzvahed 2 weekends ago. I was just down
what?
In Florida. Swear
what?
To God. Six
are you serious?
70-something ladies got bat mitzvahed. It was the craziest thing, and it was just charming and
you went?
Delightful. The whole family went.
Why?
The whole because
she's Catholic,
she's,
right?
No, my whole family is. I told you should come to the meetings. It's finance and media. You're at least in the media half. You should show up.
I've been
up.
Invited by Dr. Aaron Carroll has invited me.
Right. So yeah. So the whole family showed up, and now she is a woman. So now that she's been bat mitzvah, I swear to God, it was
funny.
What the crazy?
Why
so,
didn't she when she was of
cause,
age?
Because she's 70 something. Back then, girls weren't bat mitzvah.
Oh, they weren't.
No, women are chattel. That was the attitude of the religion. Most religions, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, women could be bat mitzvah, but it was never thought to be important in the Jewish religion, at least in the more conservative and orthodox aspects of it. It's a male-driven religion, and women are—they're not quite property, but barefoot, pregnant in the kitchen.
A male-driven religion, as opposed to those female-driven religions.
Well,
which
there are
don't
a couple.
Exist.
There's very few.
Which ones?
You know,
you can't name them.
Wiccan
no...
stuff with witchcraft. There's,
is that female-driven?
Yes. Oh, don't mess with the Wiccans.
I know. I have a couple of listeners
right.
who
don't,
are Wiccan.
Right. Don't mess with them, and yeah. don't mess with the OCD people, because they just keep. Writing. Don't mess.
Wait, what are you talking about?
You say something bad about OCD people on the radio,
and you just keep
getting letters.
Well,
they don't stop. It's terrible.
That's just a joke.
It's a terrible joke. I don't even remember who I stole that from. right.
Let's
you
try.
Can make fun of the Amish all you want, because
hey, just real quick, just for a program note, are you going to leave today? Are you going to stay till the end of the program? Are you gonna stay
I
till...
have a car waiting for me at 8:30, but I can hang around a little longer if you want.
Right.
You guys originally wanted me 7:30 to 8:00. You were kicking me out because you had some other guests, but I said I'd stay to 8:30 at least.
Jeffrey Sachs.
Who I've never met. We've swapped emails. I've never met, and I was all excited to meet him. And then
You think there's a conspiracy, he said.
No, when Alfred said, you know, we got Jeffrey Sachs, I'm like, okay, I'll make a call. I'll bump him, and he'll be here Friday,
right.
and I'll get the full hour. He goes, you can't do that. I said, watch me.
But you didn't bump him. He ended up canceling. And so, he's coming tomorrow. He's going to be on the
right.
show tomorrow.
Oh, what a coincidence. So far as you know, it came from himself.
Oh, all right. Well, he's right. in the cabal as well, so you're telling
you. I'm telling you. First of all, you come to the meetings, you'll meet a lot of great people. The catering, the spread, the appetizing, it's fantastic.
Really?
If you like lox.
Why, they have Italian food?
Lox, bagels. No, that's if you come to a dinner meeting. There's cold cuts, mortadella, all that stuff.
So you're telling me.
Chafing plates.
When you hear people say that Jews run the media and Jews run the banks, what do you say? When they're serious about that, I know that you wouldn't even, you have no patience for idiots.
What I usually say
is, do you ever engage?
If you come over here, you could feel the nub where I had my horns removed.
Really?
As a
child. What?
That's really what it's a bris and the horns.
You don't engage them at all?
No, I love when people tell me that because I am. Look, we have an attention economy. And the attention economy is everybody gets 24 hours a day. You have to eat, you have to sleep, some of a shower. And so you have to have this limited amount of time in which you're going to spend. You're going to spend some amount of time working. You're going to spend some amount of time, hopefully, educating yourself, learning. And then you're going to spend some amount of time informing yourself on the issues of the day. When someone says that, I immediately, it's a huge time saver because I immediately quarantine him. Oh, this guy's a high-functioning moron. He can dress himself and tie his shoes, but he's a shit-for-brains idiot, and I'm done with him. He just
I know that you're done with him.
But done and thrilled. And now I also get to spider that out. What organizations is he associated with? Done. Who does he work for? Done. Who are his family members? Dead. I want them all dead. It's that scene from The Untouchables with De Niro with the baseball bat.
You are on fire this morning. So, what drugs are you on? Any? Just caffeine?
I had to be ungodly early to get
I know,
Bloomberg
but yet I love
so
it. I really love it.
It's a combination of caffeine and adrenaline, which is
no,
a
but
dangerous...
I love... You're such a an interesting guy in that...
That's true.
You like attention, but you don't care about it.
I don't...
Yeah, I know, but that's so weird to me because...
I wasn't hugged enough as a...
Well, there's two reasons why someone would become, attention seeking. They weren't hugged enough, or they were hugged too much. I was the latter.
Right, you were the latter. No, look, my generation grew up, we were latchkey kids.
But let me finish my point, which is, you know, if someone like have some coffee.
So delicious.
If someone
street coffee.
If someone says something to Barry Ritholtz at Ritholtz on Twitter, that's as you say moronic. You're done with them. That's it. Whereas I will spend
6 billion people on the planet
hours of my life trying to convince them that they're wrong, and it will affect my mood.
I showed you that,
which
brilliant...
makes me a high functioning moron. And you showed me that comic, which is stuck in my head.
Somebody's wrong on the internet. Come to bed. Somebody's wrong on the internet.
I can't come to bed. Someone on the internet is wrong.
So the other quote, which comes from I believe Robert Heinlein, that I love. I think it's the Notebooks of Lazarus. Is, and I said this a few appearances ago, never try and teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and annoys the pig. And so when you confront a pig, I mean, I look, the last time we were on, maybe it's a year ago when I was on, we were talking about how embarrassing the infrastructure of the United States is, right? How awful it is. We have bridges collapsing. Look, I have two cars. I have a big cushy car and I have this tight little sports car. I drive my wife's little sports car around, and these roads are shit. You go to Europe, you go to Asia, it's like the United States was in the 50s and 60s.
That's anecdotal.
No, when you look at the data that's put together by assorted people, when you look at the number, the bridge that collapsed.
The data is put together by people who stand to benefit from the reconstruction, the organizations of civil engineers.
They're called citizens.
No, they're civil engineers that will make money.
Crossing
no,
a bridge.
It's civil engineers that will make money on infrastructure repair. They're the ones that gather the data and give it a D.
That is true, but there are other non-civil engineer entities that do this. There are state groups. There are state actual state government entities that do this. You could look at how much we have been spending per mile on road maintenance in the 50s, 60s, 70s. You can look at it as a percentage of state GDP, as a percentage of state revenue, as a percentage of the cost of the building the road, and it's been in a downward spiral.
Yeah, but
we
that's,
love
that's
to
because
have
that's
those,
when we that's
that's
a,
the data.
A, no,
the
but
data.
That's a difference between building them for the first time and maintaining
them. That's right.
Them
we
now.
Love the yellow ribbon cutting ceremony, but we hate to do the maintenance. Look, that I had someone actually say to me, when I was talking about the bridge that collapsed where fortunately nobody died, they said, well, but an oversized truck hit it. And that I go, so you're okay with transportation facilities, bridges, roads, tunnels that are unable to survive a traffic accident? Whoever could have foreseen a traffic accident on a road? Oh, my God, it's like a meteor came and killed the dinosaurs. No, a bridge should be able to sustain an accident caused by a vehicle as part of its design. Now, that bridge was built in the 50s with they call these temporary structures. It's a 30-year lifespan. This thing should have been replaced 20 years ago.
Yes,
so not only did we not replace it, we haven't been doing the maintenance on it. There are 30,000 bridges in the United States like this. while China is building 100 brand new shiny clean bridges every day, and we're falling far and behind. I say that to make my conservative friends freak out, because all you have to do is say, hey, China's getting ahead of us. Hey, China's doing this, and they lose their
Well, the
minds.
Reason why China is able to do that, of course, is that they have
an infrastructure plan. They have a
communist
tax plan,
communistic capitalism, though. Why? Yeah, yeah. They don't.
So you don't have to become communist. You take the best aspect of this is what Mayor Bloomberg's bike share program is about. They looked at
communism.
30 other cities. It's called the Copenhagenization of cities. Because Copenhagen has this massive bike program for decades, and they look at Paris, and they look at all these other cities that have done this, and they pick and choose the best aspects of this program, and they say, we're going to do this. This thing is barely a week old. It's already a wild success. Yeah, the first one of these idiots who gets killed by a cab, there'll be a big story on it. But, hey, life in the big city is that people
I hope that's
bikes.
You, because well, it'll be
no,
so funny to play back.
Can I? That would be hilarious, but I'm not... I have a different plan for my death, and it doesn't involve biking in the city.
Well,
I've already escaped that death.
It's kind of a local story in a way, the bikes in the city, but it is a huge story, in New York. One of the reasons it's a big story is because that lady in the Wall Street Journal editorial board said crazy things, right? I mean,
That's redundant. When you say Wall Street Journal editorial board, it's a bunch of drunken pederasts and sycophants, and they're just all insane, and they've been insane from the beginning of the journal.
Really?
Before,
I thought that was
No. Before Rupert Murdoch bought the journal, the crazy at a block over, the crazy was,
that's Fox
was
News.
Limited. The Wall Street Journal is in the same building now.
Oh.
So they
okay, but just to, so
but the
people
crazy
listening
was
know that we're next door.
Confined to the editorial pages. Since Journal took it over, the crazy has been creeping out. The front page is worthless. The political cover is worthless. It's all completely compromised because that doddering old man.
The Wall Street Journal, you're saying.
Oh, yeah, he's ruined the paper. And I know people, I know a lot of people there. I think the Wall Street Journal was the best paper in the country, holding aside how insane the editorial page is. The best reporting, the best investigative journalism, the best long form stuff, the best political coverage, the best corporate coverage, the best economic coverage. They were the shiznit. They were it. And he has since made – I now only read certain sections of the journal, because anything on the front page, you have to assume it's biased. You look at it like five or – I don't mean biased. I mean, hey, here's the spin I want. It's not like the Times has this leaning and the Journal has that leaning. I mean, it is no longer objective news. So the political coverage, the front page coverage, it's completely compromised. The business stuff, the market stuff is still really, really good.
Okay,
I hate to say negative things about the rest of the journal, because these are the best investigative journalists. These are the best business and finance reporters on the street. There are a bunch of people who have left the journal and gone elsewhere. There are a bunch of people at
– and you're
look, Jesse Eisinger at ProPublica publishes
right.
at the Times,
him.
Dan Gross at the Daily Beast, Floyd Norris. I could go through a list of 100 journalists.
But your criticism of the Wall Street Journal is shared by others in your world?
Yeah, there's a general sense that since they're screwing around with the political coverage, since the bias has shifted, since the emphasis has shifted, gee, what else can't we trust here? So the problem with – look, everybody has a perspective, a bias, an interest. The assumption is, though, that there's a good faith attempt to produce news, to report things objectively, especially in the world of finance – where if you're allowing your narrative bias to influence you, you lose lots of money. So they've created an opportunity for the Times to expand its business section, which has happened, for the FT to expand, because I know plenty of people
Financial Times, kill
the journal, get the FT. It's more European, more global coverage, but it's an excellent paper. And Bloomberg.com has just blown up. Bloomberg is one of the few big media outfits that has just hired relentlessly when everyone else is downsizing. So I still really like WSJ.com. I still like a lot of their blogs. I still read most of the paper. I just assume that whatever I'm reading on the front page of the Wall Street Journal has Rupert Murdoch's fingerprint. And read the Salon article, which I may have sent to you, which was, I was a mole at Fox News, and you'll really get a sense of how corrupted the entire Rupert Murdoch wing of I can't wait for the – by the way, all the print and other stuff is being spun out, which will hopefully allow it to return to its glory days. It's still a really good paper. It's still got a lot of great reporters.
If Rupert Murdoch were here right now, what would you say to him?
Barry, I would kick him in the balls and spit in his face.
Really?
Absolutely.
You would become violent.
I'd like to meet that old shit and say, why did you ruin my favorite paper?
Really? You would become violent to the old man?
Nah, I'm just speaking.
What would you say?
What's there to say? Hey, how come you're not dead yet? Can you die, please? You've corrupted politics in the United States. Net, I hope.
And the UK.
And Australia. I hope there's a God so this son of a bitch can burn in hell forever.
Really?
Unfortunately, he's just going to be dead forever.
Who do you hate more than Rupert Murdoch?
I don't hate him. I just think he's a jerk.
Do you hate anyone?
Sure, there are people.
Do you think
I hate,
evil
absolutely.
Exists?
I think there are people who have no ethics, bad judgment, an excess of self-interest, and a willingness to screw their fellow man for a nickel.
Barry Ritholtz is in studio, at Ritholtz on Twitter, 866-994-6343. As you can tell, he's on fire today. A couple more minutes before
Actually,
we have to take a break.
You know I'm kidding. Me and Rupert go way back.
Yeah, right.
Buddies.
Yeah.
He doesn't come to the meeting.
With the day camp. Well, he's not Jewish.
Thank God for that.
I think his... I don't have any more jokes. I was going to say, I think his wife is, but she's not.
O.J. Simpson, not a Jew.
O.J. Simpson, not a Jew. But guess who is? Hall of Famer, Rod Carew.
He converted.
yeah, it's a great look. He converted.
Harrison Ford is half Jewish. Goldie Hawn, too. Put them together. That's one fine looking
tune. Oh, it's a great tune.
Can I tell you, it's one
great,
of those things that have
tune.
Just stayed with me for years.
Yeah, hilarious. He's great. All right, let me. I've only got a minute or two here, but
I
wanted to ask you about a foreign policy question, kind of, because you on the blog, The Big Picture, I think posted something. I asked Melanie to aggregate some of the best Big Picture stuff, and she did a good job and sent the piece about who won the Iraq War. Iraq repays America by awarding oil contracts to China. I was surprised to find out that Iraq is one of the leading oil producers. In the world still, I thought they had been depleted.
Well, it's 10 years later. They haven't been depleted. The infrastructure was destroyed, and it took 10 years and $1 trillion.
So I mean, I know you're not.
You're welcome.
Well,
that's your tax dollars at work.
Iraq repays America by awarding oil contracts to China. Those are your words.
Those aren't my words. I'm quoting somebody.
Okay.
But what you know, it's a free market. It's an open, competitive market, and China came in and said, we'll guarantee you this much money for this much more oil for this much time. And the United States doesn't run Iraq. Iraq said, oh, that sounds like a good deal. We'll take it. And meanwhile, in the United States, between hydrofracking and tar sands up in Canada, the U.S. consumption of imported oil the past 5 years, as again makes my conservative friends crazy, under this administration, I think it would happen no matter who got elected.
Yeah, well.
But under this administration, oil production, natural gas production has skyrocketed.
Well, technicality, I mean, the tar sands is imported oil, but it's from Canada.
Well, by the way, our biggest oil imports come from Canada.
Right.
Everybody thinks Saudi Arabia, distant second, but Canada. So I spoke in Canada. I have just to relate a story on this. And I spoke in Canada in Winnipeg in the dead of winter. It was 50 degrees below out. It was actually a crazy experience. And at it was Winnipeg and Saskatchewan, and in the Saskatchewan Q&A portion of the show, another economist had actually talked about concerns about the U.S. and the tough talk out of the Senate and imports and then this and that. And I said, I was asked, what do you think about that? And I said, I was really surprised when I heard that, because if you guys don't know this, Americans think of Canada as – you know, our hat. You're our 51st state.
And America's junior, yeah.
When we talk about oil imports, we're not talking about the democracy to our north who shivers in this weather, 50 below, with the wind chill, 35 below without. We're talking about the Middle East dictators and bad guys over there. And I'm so surprised to hear that you guys don't think about our greatest imports from Canada are oil, timber, and comedians. I mean, we love Canadians, and I'm surprised to hear you guys don't understand that about
At Ritholtz is in studio. We'll get his take on the IRS when we come back and everything else. You should join the conversation too, 866-994-6343. Oh, I want some more dessert with Barry Ritholtz. And we're going to get some in just a minute. Stay here.